Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21, verse 21. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. It is absolutely impossible for the natural man, and you know what I mean when I say the natural man, that is every man, every woman, as they are born in Adam. Every person born into this world, born in Adam, is born with a nature and a heart that cannot believe God. And the reason is because that heart is spiritually dead. That's what God meant when he told Adam, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. So, faith is the gift of God. It's got to be given. In regenerating grace, it is given. Because without faith, faith from above, faith of God's elect, that grace of God by which a man or woman believes, without God giving that, and every person that receives faith believes the gospel. That's all they can believe. True faith has one object. The Lord Jesus Christ, as He's revealed in these Scriptures, sovereign. So if someone says, I believed, even though I believed a lie, I truly believed and trusted God and loved the Lord, but I believed back then that I was saved by my free will, or by my works. I truly believe though. Now listen. No, you didn't. I know we think by nature that we did, and that we just came to a knowledge of the doctrines of grace or something. That's the terminology. I came to the doctrines of grace. That's not scriptural language. We come to Christ, but we don't come to the doctrines of grace. But to believe is to believe the gospel, to believe sovereign, saving, preserving grace. For it's given, and to you it's given in the behalf of Christ. This is what Paul said in Philippians 1:29. It's given. That is, it is graciously granted to you by God's favor. That's what it means. It's given unto you. Not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer. Now this is a grace. This is a grace from God. To believe and to suffer. You say, you mean to tell me that it's given unto me, God's grace, it's given unto me to suffer? For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. So now, it's no insignificant thing. If Almighty God has taught you the gospel and has permitted His vessel of mercy, whoever He say, if He's permitted you to believe on Christ and to suffer, if He's allowed you that privilege, you're a blessed person. That grace of mercy is bestowed upon only those that he chosen to show mercy and compassion. Therefore, when you are ridiculed, called to be foolish, told that you're deceived, that you're believing in some cult, because you believe the gospel, you count that as a true blessing from God. Because Almighty God has shown you mercy, and He's not left you to yourself. All that is being revealed is that God has taught you something and has left another to themselves. Pray for them. Pray for them that the Lord will call them out of darkness. Almighty God has permitted you to believe. Permitted you. It's given. It's been given as a favor to believe and to suffer. And you're going to be hated. You'll be hated. You're hated because you believe that salvation has been ordained of God for His people. You're hated because you believe that salvation is by God's sovereign grace. You're hated because of that. You're hated because you believe that Christ only died for the elect. You'll be hated for that. You'll be called narrow-minded and foolish and, you know. But my question is always this. You may hate me because I preach that. But is it going to change? If I quit preaching it, would it change? Would John 10:15 be then taken out of the Scriptures? When the Lord said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Then told some Pharisees in about 10 verses. He said, you believe not because you're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. So if someone were to not preach it, well, if they quit preaching it, I can tell you this, it's because God never had them, because God keeps them. But if Almighty God permits one to believe that, and he's hated for it, if he were to say, I'm going to quit, I ain't doing this no more, like Jeremiah did, would it change anything? It's permitted. You'd be hated because God chose you. You'd be hated because Christ redeemed you. And you'd be hated because the Spirit of God effectually called you out of darkness. You'd be hated because you don't believe that you have a free will. That's why you're going to be hated. Because what you're doing is exposing something. Now, Scripture declares, by grace are you saved. Through faith. What does that mean? You know it by. By grace are you saved, and you know it by faith. Only way. That not of yourselves. You didn't come up with that. It's a gift of God. So how does one know if the Lord has granted them true saving faith? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Maybe not for you, but I can just tell you for myself. That question crosses my mind for me often. Have I truly believed? Am I truly? I know this. I know this in my head. I know that. I know for a fact. But have I truly believed? I'm have enough sense, hopefully still, to know that I'm, humanly speaking, I'm on the tail end of this. I'm on the tail end of this life. I know that. I know I'm close. My question is this: when I take my last breath, when all of a sudden that which was mysterious now is plainly beheld, and I know then what is on the other side, can I have any hope right now? One way. One way. One that believes the word of the Lord. They believe what Christ has said concerning men. They believe what Christ has said concerning Himself. They believe. Now, what has the Lord said about men and Himself? Now, and I'm going to just tell you what. Turn to John 6. John 6, 63. Stay right there where you are. Turn with me. John 6, 63. And let's just hear what the Lord has said. I'm not going to tell you anything new today. As Paul said, I'm going to repeat some things, but he said, not grievous to him. He said, for all of us, it's safe. Now this is, I want to do something that's safe for us today. I want to remind us of something. Because this is something I need to be reminded of. John 6, what has the Lord said about man? Now this is what the Lord said. Now listen, just whatever else we've ever heard, let's just say this. I'll tell you what. Let God be true and let every man be a liar. How about that? Okay, let whatever the Lord said. Now, if this goes contrary to what somebody else has told me, then I'm going to tell you this. Whatever somebody else has told me then is just going to have to be a lie. Now, this is the truth here. What has the Lord said about man? John 6, 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. It is the Spirit that causes to live. It's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh, the will, the desire, the flesh, the natural man, the flesh, profiteth nothing. What does that mean? That means the flesh is of no use. It has no advantage. None. All you have to do, one will say, is the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, that which animates or gives life, and their life. So concerning man, this is what the Lord has said. Man is spiritually impotent. And he contributes nothing to salvation. Nothing. No use. No advantage. And concerning himself. Now what is the Lord saying? Now there's man. Now here's the totality of man. He's useless. How do you add to that? What else do you want me to say? You're nothing. We're nothing. We can do nothing. We can think nothing. We are absolutely, spiritually impotent, dead, powerless. Now, concerning the Lord, John 6, 64, here's what he said. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Now that thought right there, listen, if you know not the Lord, you're not fooling God. You're not fooling the Lord. He knows. And then he said in verse 65 concerning himself and man's inability, therefore said I unto you, no man can come unto me. No man has the ability except it were given unto him of my Father. Now that statement concerning man's spiritual impotence and God's sovereignty, man is going to do one of two things with that. Now let me tell you what everybody in this congregation is doing right now. And everybody that will even listen to this message. Let me tell you what. Every one of us, we're going to do one of two things with that. Here's what he said Therefore I said unto you, no man can come. You cannot. Well, I can. No, you can't. No, you can't. No man can come except. Here's what's going to happen. Man's reaction to that statement right there is going to reveal what that man or where he is concerning the Lord. The first reaction is he's not going to believe it. I don't believe that. That's the first thing he's going to do. No man can come except it were given unto him of my Father. And the evidence of that is in verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now here's what happens. If someone hears the gospel of God's sovereign grace, that God chooses, God redeems, God regenerates, God keeps, and you don't do anything, and you hold on to that what we all possessed, dung. That's all it was. You hang on to what you think you did years ago. You hang on to that. Paul said, all of that mess, he said, I counted it as refuge. It was nothing. Why, except for pride? Why, except for pride, would someone want to hang on to something that the Scripture says is dung? I'm hanging on to that. I was sincere. I meant it. I was doing the best I could. It's dung. It was dung. And a believer will say, that was nothing to me. Somebody will come up and pat you on the back and say, oh, but you know what? You were such a good boy. You were a good girl. You said, listen. Except for the grace of God, this is what's going to happen. Many of his disciples went back and they walked no more. I'm not going to hear that anymore. That's the first. The second one is revealed in verses 67 to 71. Here's the other one. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you go away also? Will you go away? Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe. We're sure. You're that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? One of you is a devil. Spake of Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. So, how can I know? I either believe the word of the Lord, or I don't. That's one of two things. I'm not asking about how sincere you are. I'm telling you, I am so embarrassed on my sincerity, on my consistency. But here's one thing that I, by the grace of God, can say, Lord, I believe that. I believe that. And what is going to be the standard? When I stand before God, the books are open. And they're going to be, Revelation 20:12 says, the books are going to be open. And it's in God who knows, the Lord knew from the beginning who they were that would betray him. And he knew. And it's all recorded. How it's recorded, I don't know. It says a book. The books are going to be open. And here is going to be what's determining my eternal state. The revelation of God's Word, listen to this Scripture, John 12, 47, 48. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him, the word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. A man or woman that rejects this message right here, that rejects the message of the truth of salvation by grace, holds on to a lie, rejects him, the word of the Lord himself is the standard by which every man is going to be judged. So back now in Proverbs. He that followeth after righteousness. Righteousness. Not mine. The scripture says that my righteousness, your righteousness, is filthy rags. Menstruous cloths. That's what it is. That's what we're hanging on to. We're hanging on to that. Filthy rags. He that followeth after righteousness. And I went back this morning. I looked up again that word followeth. He that followeth. And here's what it is. And I know the struggles that we all have. But he that fervently, constantly, needfully. There's a word I was looking for. He that needfully. Lord, I need your righteousness imputed to me. I need that. Lord, don't leave me to myself. Lord, don't leave me to the blindness of an old heart. It's deceitful. I know it's deceitful. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy. Mercy. Lord, you told Moses, I will have mercy and compassion on whomsoever I will. Lord, I'm asking. And Lord, I can find no scripture where any sinner ever came to you and asked for mercy and you refused him. Because Lord, you said, he that cometh to me, casting everything else aside, I will in no wise cast him out. Lord, you said that. You said that. And Lord, I don't have anything else. I'm a helpless, needy sinner. I don't have sense enough to get out of the rain. But Lord, if I die and I leave this world trusting you, and I'm cast into hell, I'll be the only one that ever happened to, because you said, I'll never forsake you. Lord, I need you. I don't have anything else. So continually to follow after righteousness and mercy is to needfully, consistently, fervently. I know what I am in me. So I'm not even looking to that. You know, John said in 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. Don't sin. Don't disbelieve God. That's what, to sin not. Don't disbelieve God. And if any man sin, when we do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteousness, pleading his own merit, declaring his own merit, that he's died and paid the debt for my unbelief. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, I believe. Yeah. The righteous one in whom the Lord, the Father, is well pleased, he pleads for his people. He declares himself the advocate, the mediator, the redeemer. I paid the debt. These children. And don't ever think that we're not sinning. If we say we have no sin, we make God to be a liar, because God says you do. Paul said, I see in me, in my flesh, it dwells no good thing. I know what I am. So I'm asking, Lord, following after you, asking, have mercy. They follow. The Scripture declares, he that followeth after righteousness and mercy. How does he follow after? How does he follow after? They follow after desiring to hear. Needing to hear. My sheep hear my voice. They follow me. I want to hear this. I'm not telling you one thing I've not told you before. But it's just as alive right now as it was the first time you ever heard it. He that followeth after righteousness. They hear his voice. They hear this voice and you hear the gospel of God's free grace and you think, you know what? That bears witness to my heart. That's the truth. That's the truth. I hear what he's saying about man, about myself. I know that's the truth. I know that. And when there's silence. When there's a lack of hearing the truth. Faith cometh by hearing. And when there's silence, when there's a leanness in hearing the truth, I'm going to tell you what a believer does. I got to hear that again. You tell me one more time. They follow because they know him. They follow because they're his sheep. They follow because they know they're accepted of the Father in him. They know. They follow because they know. He said, I'm his bride. He said he's married to me. He said he's going to provide for me. He gave himself to me. I believe that. Lord, tell me that again in my heart. Teach me that one more time. But to follow after mercy, what is that? Is to know that I need it. I'm unable to produce a righteousness that God's going to accept. I need mercy. I need. He who follows after righteousness and mercy is one that cries out like the publican, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And for everyone that's found with a heart to seek after righteousness and mercy, here's the promise from the Lord that they are going to find that which they seek. If he's given a heart to cry out for mercy, turn with me in closing to John 1. John, the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 41. John 1, 41. John 1:41. And he first findeth, well, look at verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And Andrew says in verse 41, he first findeth his own brother Simon, went to Peter, and saith unto him, we found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. We found him. We found him. He that, back in our passage, he that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth. Now what does that word findeth mean? They find it. It is pointed out to them. It is revealed to them. He that followeth, after righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, the mercy, it has been revealed to them what true life, what true righteousness, and what true honor is to be called the sons of God. They didn't earn it. They didn't deserve it, but they found it. It was revealed to them that Almighty God has chosen to show mercy. Lord, I want that. Lord, I need that. Lord, reveal that to me again. And teach me one more time, Lord, of your kindness and compassion and long-suffering to this needy sinner, Lord, and I pray you do it for my eternal good, but for your sake. Amen. All right, let's take a break.